If any of you came out on tour, you saw all of our honeypot goodies in the bathrooms, outside the bathrooms, kind of wherever. I am a newfound fangirl of this brand. So vaginas are serious business, we know that. And when you work hard and you play hard, it can get a little stressed. Well, they see you trying to self-care, but you don't have down there care routine, do you? Well, the honeypot is the first feminine care system powered by herbs. So tend to your garden, cherish your cha-cha, pamper your peach. When your honeypot works just as hard as you do, it deserves self-care too. The Honeypot, made by humans with vaginas for humans with vaginas. So they have a long line of products. I love all of them. I'm obsessed with their intimate parts, body and face wipes. They have a urinary tract support supplement that I take now, and it has been a game changer for me. They have some foaming washes that you can use in the shower. They have a vaginal care probiotic, tampons, menstrual cup, you name it. They have everything that you need to take care of your vajayjay because it's an important part. Okay, guys, it's important. So please, please, please go and check out thehoneypot.co.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Lady Gang. I am Becca Tobin here with Jack Vanek and Kelty Knight.
Good day.
Good day.
It's always good a good day when we have a housewife on the show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves them the most.
Housewives are bust.
Yeah.
Housewives are bust.
I mean, there's been so much housewife news. And like, Beck, I haven't seen you, so we haven't really been able to talk about it. But I'm just like, Rinna out at, you know, Beverly Hills, the new Legacy. Like, oh my God, there's so much. And then like you know, and you know, our guest, you probably know because her name was on there, but like Salt Lake has been such a weird season. It's like, what's happening? Like we need some new fire in this show. So I'm excited to talk to Heather about it in a bit.
Also, one of the editors from Lady Gang TV is now an editor at Salt Lake City Housewives.
Oh,
it has taken all of my restraint to not reach out and get extra goodies.
Yeah, get the gossips.
I'm
get
sure
the goss,
she'd
baby.
Get sued if she did, but that's okay. All right, on that note, it's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
I have a bad week for me and Jack together.
Oh, okay.
Is it about me?
Remember when...
It's about me.
No.
Kelty worked at ET, and we would just get frantic text messages about her being swamped and her being busy and her being this and her being that and her being so busy and her being swamped.
Yeah.
We had a reprieve from that. And so we got in exchange for that was many texts and emails from Kelty. Not saying she was slammed and busy because she wasn't slammed and busy. Instead, she was stalking us to
work
harder, longer, faster. Okay.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, that's not a win for us either.
Yeah.
Well, now I got the most, I don't know why it made me laugh so hard. This is just Kelty in a nutshell. This just like, it just thrilled me that we have this back in our lives. Okay.
I can't wait to find out what this is.
Okay. In our Lady Gang Hive, which includes myself, the two of you, and Alex. And here's the text we received on Monday. Hi, Alex. I'm a little swamped this morning. Can you please make sure that everything goes up in the preparation for tomorrow's human design episode? We mentioned, posted on the Lady Gang to take the test. Could we repost? We're talking about why maybe we should just wait for day of, and then we realize that it was a holiday that day, the day before. And so Kelty says, because it's also a holiday for a lot of people, in quotations. I mean, in parentheses, not me. And people will have time before they drive to work tomorrow morning.
I did make note of that. I did make note of that.
Yes, because it's also a holiday for a lot of people, in parentheses, not me.
Just to let you all know that Kelty is working. Now, Alex just texted our group chat saying, I'm so glad you brought this up. Okay, because I was like, is this even valid? Because it's just so Kelty that it's not like something out of the ordinary. But I was like, if there was ever a moment in time, a snapshot of Lady Gang history, it's that text. Hey, I'm swamped. Can you do this thing? Because it makes sense because everybody has a holiday, not me. You know, it's not like, me. It's a double whammy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. So I'm going to start calling you Dr. Kelty because
you
are in demand. You don't take holidays because you are saving lives.
No, she's saving lives. She's saving lives. No, actually, it's so funny you brought that up. And I'm really glad you did because I actually, right after that was Monday. On Tuesday morning, I had a big therapy session and I really got back to being chill. Like I was getting into a spiral because my house has three fucking giant holes in it and is flooded and it's like $1 zillion to fix. And so I'm trying to do that plus the renovation, plus like all this fucking shit, plus, you know, everyone has their shit, right? But it's just been like so much. And then the co-host of E has been sick. So I've been filling in and then anyway, it's just been fucking a nut and nutso. And I was like, spinning. So I think that was like my, like my help, you know what I mean? It was like, help, can you do this? Cause I'm so busy. But then I did a big therapy and I just started canceling shit. Literally, my therapist was like, well, you're too busy. You're feeling stressed. What can we cancel? And I was like, you know what? I don't need to get my blood work done. I canceled it.
Oh my God.
Oh, because everything seemed like it was important. And I was like, nope, not doing it. I feel like
blood work is probably pretty important.
It's super fucking important, but I didn't have time to go. So I'm going to get my shit together next week. But yeah, I was fucking busy and I worked on MLK. Thanks for noticing, everyone.
Not
well,
me.
And love I that. I just want you to know that I will never, ever, ever believe you that you don't have time to do something when you post 7 posts on Instagram a day.
Yeah, but okay.
She's working. She's a working lady.
It's part of my job.
Okay, I understand that. But
it's
like
part of my contract. My EP will literally be like, why haven't you promoted today? So
I think the extent in which you are promoting is like balls to the walls. I think they'd be okay with just a simple, hey, watch me on E tonight.
Yeah.
But a reel, a story, a questionnaire, a poll, another reel, and a post is like plenty. So I think that I'm going to struggle with believing when you're swamped and not on a holiday when you post 45 things to Instagram.
It's true. But it's so easy to post to Instagram because you're just standing around waiting to go do things.
No, you're right. You're right. And it's part of your job. It's, you know, allow you that.
Yeah. No, it's true. I feel like my mom is thinking the same thing. She's like, what do you mean you're too busy to call me? I saw you make this beautiful reel of your outfit.
Yes.
Yeah. She's busy.
If you use the CapCut app and you just put one long video in, it'll automatically cut it up for you. It takes 3 seconds. Just letting everyone know. Okay. Who's next?
Okay.
Wait, do you
I
have
think
a good-
that was my bad week, but it was also so good that like,
it's so good. I'm going to forever remember that text. Not me.
Not me. Everyone's on holiday. Not me.
She loves to let you know.
Are you going to go, Jack?
Sure. Okay. So my good week, this is a little delayed and I just remembered it because I just picked it up from the dry cleaning. But when I was in France, it was so fucking cold, like frigid, freezing cold. And I brought all 4 of my Lady Gang sweatsuits, and that is all I wore my entire trip. And I have got to say, they're the comfiest thing that I own. 100%. Like those, I am so like weird with sweaters, like sweaters itch me and I feel like they get staticky and so gross. And those sweatsuits are so good.
Do you feel slightly underdressed in them in France?
Well, I did. I literally did not take my jacket off because it was so cold. And I couldn't wear anything that was like cute because it was like 25 degrees outside.
Yeah.
I didn't prepare. But those, you're like put together, but disheveled.
I've been wearing them into work a ton because I've been doing this renovation and all my clothes are just scattered all over the floor. And I found the top drawer where I was keeping them and I rediscovered them.
Yeah, they're so good.
And pink. Love it. Beautiful.
I wish we could find out like what that fabric is, and then I can purchase other things in that fabric, because I've never felt anything like that. It's
I bet
special.
We could get to the bottom of it.
I know. I want to.
We know the people.
I do love them. Okay. So my bad week, it was kind of a bad week, sort of turned into a good week. So I have my wedding date for my wedding, right? And I was told that I had a different date in the beginning. So when this was kind of all going on and I was going to reserve the chateau, blah, 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 in my mind, I was like, this is my date. Here are my days. Like, I'm so excited. I'm planning like the whole trip around it this way. It's a little bit earlier in the month. It's going to be nice and warm, but like not too hot. I had it in my mind. I'm like, that's my date. Well, it turns out that they had double booked me with another girl for two separate weekends. She ended up putting her like down payment hold for it like an hour before I was going to put mine down. And I didn't realize that we were double booked and nobody did. So anyways, that was kind of my bad week, because I'm like, I had this date in my mind and now I had to switch it and figure everything out in my brain. Just crazy like wedding shit. But my good week that it turned into is I tracked my period. And if it was going to be the original week, I would have gotten my period exactly on my wedding. So now it's changed and I'm going to be like 2 weeks in my cycle. It's going to be so nice. Because I'm like, what would I have done? Gone on birth control and gotten crazy?
No, I think you just would have been on your period.
But your period's so heavy.
I would bleed on my wedding dress.
By the way,
so bad.
I have many thoughts about your period, but we'll talk about that offline. I feel like you need to get more into this. It shouldn't be that heavy.
Okay. Yeah. But wait, is this a different date than what you've told Kelty and myself?
No, that's the date.
That's the right one.
That is the right date. But before that was confirmed, I thought it was going to be a week before.
Great. And then so, you posted something about wedding attire dress code.
I did?
Well, it was like funny. It was like people looked like they were living in Whoville and you're like attire dress code or whatever.
Yeah.
What is the attire you're going with? Because Kelty, I'm sure, is going to try to get us some sort of matching coordinated.
This is our time to shine. Do you remember when we came to your wedding? Because it was like a après ski party and we thought it was a costume party.
Yes.
And it was just a pretty like wear a little fur with your dress.
You guys can wear costumes if you want. No, I think the dress code's just gonna be formal. Like we were thinking about black tie, but like I don't think Jared wants to wear a tuxedo. So I think just formal long gowns, colorful.
Great.
Nothing colorful. Too crazy.
Cute. I love that.
Yes. All right, Kelty.
Good week. I've held this for a moment because I had other things I wanted to tell you. So my mom and I for Christmas, every year I'm like, please don't send me anything, because my mom is the queen of a tchotchke. She loves to like be at a store and see like a tiny rock that says like Live Laugh Lady Gang, and then like send me the rock in the mail. And Chris is like, oh, a gnome. For the garden, we don't have, like, she just loves a tchotchke or like an inspirational deck of cards, like that has manifests on it. She knows I'm into that. So my dad arrived, when he was here in December, and he's like, oh, your mom sent these. And it's like a couple presents, but it wasn't wrapped because she was scared of like TSA. So he just like puts them on the table and I'm going through them. And it's like cards and tchotchke. And then it was sex dice. It was literally, and I was like, it was like this dice where it was like date night dice. And so it was like, what kind of food are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? And then like your sex position. And I looked at my dad and I said, this is questionable. He's like, I don't know. Like, I just brought it. I thought it was kind of weird too. And I'm literally looking at a dice of two people being doggy style with my dad in the kitchen.
Oh no.
And I was just like, huh? So anyway, my mom got me sex dice. You came back in.
Dying.
So gross. That was a lot. That was absolutely a lot.
Did you ask her about it?
No, I haven't, because I'm like too embarrassed.
Are you going to use them with Chris?
Probably not. It feels weird that it came from my mom. Like if you guys would have given me, then definitely yes, you know?
Yeah, it's got a weird little attachment to it.
So so that's my bad, good week. Good week, bad week. I don't know. My other good week, bad week is I can't decide if that's good or bad. I guess I got sex dice, which is nice. But anyway, so I'm flying back up to Canada with my dad over the holidays, and we're going through like the TSA pre-check part. And someone says something, the woman at like letting us into the line thought my dad was my lover. And I'm just like, then I spiraled into like, what does this mean? My dad was like, yeah, I look good. And I was like, I think it's actually the opposite. I think she thinks I look old. My dad is 72 years old, was wearing like a beanie, has a gray eyebrow, and is like wearing Canadian old man clothes, like a puffy jacket, a bad jean, like a orthopedic sneaker. And I'm like, you know, wearing a black legging. Anyway, no makeup. I should look younger, I think. Anyway.
Well, what could it be mean? Like a could it be like a sugar daddy, gold diggery kind
well,
of thing?
Well, I was like, we are in LA where like the young chicks are with an old guy.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, it's in a it's 30 years, guys. It's like an aggressive jump here.
Well, I think also it's because if you see a twosome male, female in an airport together. Yeah, because I actually can't remember the last time I was in an airport with just my dad and I. You know,
right. It is weird.
It is weird.
But I also got really into, I don't know why I started doing this. I've always called my dad, dad, but like in the past 2 years, he's only daddy now.
No.
And I think maybe I was like daddy and like
this
maybe.
Is
why are you just adopting daddy?
Because
that's so weird.
Beth on Yellowstone calls Harrison Ford daddy. And I love the way she sounds.
Is that her dad or is that her lover?
It's her dad.
Oh,
but that,
I don't like the daddy.
That was your conscious choice to start calling him
it
daddy.
It wasn't conscious. It just has come out. It's just...
Because she's trying to emulate
want some dinner,
Yellowstone.
Yeah, I'm trying to live my life. Okay. Anyway, when we come back, time to podcast. I mean, we already are podcasting, but we'll do more of this stuff.
Lady Gang, this is actually revolutionary, and I'm so excited to invite them into the Lady Gang world. The company's called TBD Health, and they're sponsoring the podcast today. TBD Health takes a new approach to support sexual health care by making users feel empowered rather than embarrassed or uncomfortable about their sex lives. It starts with at-home STD screening kits and emergency contraception that reduces all the stigma, anxiety, and inaccessibility that usually comes with it. TBD Health is available in all 50 states and offers affordable, fast, and reliable at-home STD testing, results in 1 week, including end-to-end service with personalized sex-positive clinical care, counseling, and actionable next steps following your test results. Our labs are leaders in direct-to-consumer testing. In fact, they're the same labs that physicians, hospitals, and universities used, which is amazing. So it's like kind of like self-care. Not only is testing a form of self-care, but you're doing a good thing for both you and your partners. So visit tbd.health today to get your at-home test. Use code LADYGANG at checkout for 10% off your entire purchase. You can do it at home. No stigma. You don't have to sit in the office and be like, hey, I'm here for a STD test. Like, you can just do it at home in the privacy of your own house. I love this. Go to tbd.health. If you're feeling stressed lately, we have an amazing brand that we absolutely want to tell you about called Just Thrive. This award-winning gut nourishing Just Thrive probiotic with the stress busting, mood lifting up power of Just Calm. Let me just tell you something. Just Thrive, the probiotic was on the podcast a couple weeks ago and the owner, Tina Anderson, told us all about like why it's so important and why this one is so good. And I have been using it and really noticed a difference. But the Just Calm, I literally am keeping this on my desk. I also have another one in my bathroom. And when I just feel like I'm starting to spin in a tizzy and I wish that I could literally just calm down, I've been just taking a couple. And even when I'm like going to watch TV at night, I'll take two. It's proven to help promote a healthy stress response and help balance your mood. Just kind of gives you an energy boost. And like, to be honest, just kind of winds you down. So right now, get 20% off a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive Probiotic and Just Calm at justthrivehealth.com with our promo code LADYGANG. If you've been wanting to get into the probiotic or the calm down game, this is the one for you. And you can also check out all of their other products. Take control of your health this year with Just Thrive. We love them.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
Our guest today is one of the stars of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City with a compelling storyline after being married to Mormon royalty for over 11 years and then distancing herself from the church after her divorce. She's the founder of Beauty Lab and Laser, which we really need to get into because I'm the most interested about should I get my lips done, and the podcast Live Love Lab. She's got three daughters, an unexplainable black eye, and a brand new book, Bad Mormon, that's out February 7th. Please welcome to the podcast, we've wanted her forever, Heather Gay.
And I just would like to say, and she only follows me on Instagram of the three of us.
And she's Matt Kelty.
And I like to just launch out of the gate with that, with who do I follow? Social media warfare is where the game is
well,
played.
You have to understand that the competition with the three of us,
so like true.
Jack is a really big Bachelor stan. So yeah. If there's Bachelor people, she will like claw us out of the way to get to them. And when a housewife comes on, like, I lose my shit.
Yeah, we love you.
We love you. Yeah. So we're happy you're here.
I'm thrilled to be here with the Lady Gang. You guys, welcome me. Don't be too hard on me. I have an unexplainable black eye.
The unexplainable black eye. Okay, so I want to talk about the book because I feel like we have written and released two books into the world, and both times had mentees right before, because it is so stressful and you spend so long writing the book and telling all your secrets. And then the day that it's released to the world and everyone can read all of your stuff, it's terrifying. Are you, you nervous?
Yeah, I'm really nervous because I'm scared that everything that I predicted would happen when I kind of spoke out against the church will come true. And it's already come true in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of that kind of ostracizing behavior whenever you kind of leave a really insular, high demand community, that has been happening already. So I expect the blowback. I mean, I would never anticipate that I wouldn't get it, because this is why I stayed for so long, because I know how we reject our own. So I'm worried about that. I don't think the people that'll be the most offended will find too much fault. I just hope that they see that I tried to be respectful of my experience, but also honor what I really thought about all of this while I was living it, because we really just push down how we feel and accept the status quo. And that's just Mormonism.
Is the book like your story from like young to like to when Housewives started, or does it continue into Housewives? And is it like deep in your relationships too?
I really tried to just tell my story from my perspective and let everyone else tell their story from theirs. So I am the main character. It's the story of me becoming a housewife from basically birth to becoming a housewife, getting cast on the show. It's not really a book about being a housewife at all. The story ends with me having that first rush of fame and community and, you know, fandom, and just kind of being swept up from a life that I had never known before into this world of housewives magic, you know?
How many years before you became a housewife had you really distanced yourself or decided to take that step away?
I mean, the process was really, really slow. I had been emotionally distancing since probably my mission, because I talk a lot in the book about kind of like silencing the self and the voice within, and like just chop wood, carry water, you know, just stand up, look at your feet, put the feet on the cold tile floor, wake up and go through the motions. And in order to really do it without cognitive dissonance, you have to set aside logic. But I was willing to put aside a lot of my disbelief because the promises were so great and the punishment of leaving was so severe. The consequences of leaving, I should say, is so severe. I mean, this is my family. I have been in this faith for generations. My grandmother and grandfathers were ox cart pioneers. You know, they settled Utah. And I have 50 first cousins. There's not a divorce amongst us. You know, we are a tried and true family of faith. And I felt a sincere duty to myself and my family, and also to God, to just toe the line. So I would say that there's moments you'll see in the book where I have definite schisms of like, you know, sliding door moments, but I suppressed those feelings to trudge forward. And it really took something as big as a divorce and as big as housewives to force me to rip the Band-Aid off and jump off the cliff. I mean, I was that scared. I didn't want to step, you know, let go of the rope without knowing what I was giving it up for. And the show really forced my hand. You can choose heaven or Hollywood, but you can't have both. Oh. And I picked Hollywood, baby.
Oh my God.
This is the best quote I've ever heard in my life. So I, like Becca said, I'm like a Bachelor fan. I watch Housewives sometimes. So I am not like super well versed in Salt Lake. So were you leaving the church as you were filming? And that was like that was your story while you were starting to film?
I mean, I was coming out on camera. Like, this was the first time a lot of my extended family or close friends would know that I was dating, which means, you know, that I was drinking. You know, these are things like I call this my morning drink, because when my friends that are Mormon come over, I can't even say coffee in front of them.
Wow. So crazy.
I mean, more caffeine. No caffeine. Right, right, right.
Yeah. That's why I have like decaf chai. And my cleaning lady kept putting the K-cups out. And I was like, you can't put those on display. One, they're terrible for the environment. Two, they cannot be on display in my home.
Like, you know, it's like, cocaine. You're like, yeah, get it off.
Oh, it's like my OnlyFans account or something. Like, no one can know. They can never know. They can never know. That secrecy has been embedded in me since college because we lived by a very strict honor code at BYU where we policed each other, and you could get, you know, ejected from college if you were complicit in allowing your roommate to sin. If you knew your roommate's boyfriend was sleeping over and you didn't turn her in, you were also in trouble. So it was just, we police each other. We know to look for shoulder lines, like still a lot of my shirts, like you could wear your garments with, but the process of leaving, you have to, I didn't stop going to church until COVID.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Wow. So, because you wanted to, or you just felt you had to?
You know, I wanted to because I wanted to take a stand against a lot of the doctrine and a lot of the social, you know, bigotry and just things that I really didn't want to be associated with. But this is my routine, you know, and I have three daughters that I had raised in this faith and that had their community and their friends and their youth group and their, you know, their dance groups. And when we stopped going, there was definite fallout. You know, they are each other's best friends now. They don't really have that same core group. The community is very tight and we know who goes to church and who doesn't. And it's really hard to embrace someone that's left and is left openly and like loudly with a book, you know, when your mom's face is on the cover of a book that says Bad Mormon, it's hard to feel like a safe place for other kids, you know?
Your daughters are so supportive. I know we don't see everything on the show, but first of all, you have beautiful daughters that are, you did something right. You like, you offset whatever they were learning in the church, and you really did create these non-judgmental, open-minded, and really loving beings. Have all of them been gung-ho, like get out there, be loud, do this, like use your platform at all times? Was it a tougher for one of them? Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I was shocked. The ones that I predicted would be resistant or struggle were the ones that were like, hallelujah.
Really?
You know, let's go, mom. Don't look back. Shut the door. Never going back. But everyone's kind of come around. I think that it's not just my example, but really the times we live in. You know, we're forcing transparency. We're forcing institutions and churches and corporations to answer these hard questions and to acknowledge what they've done wrong and to make reparations where they have. And the church has still not done that. So it was logical to my kids to be like, we're not going to embrace a church that doesn't embrace our gay friends and family. We're not going to, well, you know, family that we don't know about. We... family that still is in the closet. You know what right. I mean? Like everyone yeah. is doing this toe tap under the stall to see who's a bad Mormon and who's not, who's safe. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, I think that they've been watching this and they feel relieved internally. And I think they're just navigating it externally. You know, they get bullied a little bit at sure. school and online. And that, of course, as a mom, you know, breaks my heart because I feel like I put a target on their backs.
Right.
And, it's just ironic that you stay for so long to keep them safe. And then you think this is our way out and I'm going to never, you know, I'm going to do this for them. But there are pros and cons to dying inside and pros and cons to living your best life.
Yeah,
when you're right. a mom, nothing you do is in a vacuum. And that is the sad hardship of motherhood, you know?
So true.
Oh, I love that. You know, we talk a lot about shame on this show, like, and it was, you know, our book, when it came out, our last book was all about like the fact that shame sort of loves secrecy. And when you tell people your story, you know, you release it and you let it free. And I wonder, like, and in relationships, I have a girlfriend going through a divorce right now. And she's like, honestly, I'm happy I'm getting divorced. Like, this is what I want. It's the shame of everyone around me being like, you failed at this thing that you said you were going to be good at. And now can we even trust your word? Because you said forever. And now you've taken that back. So did that affect you? Like, I mean, I can imagine it was like kind of on crack because you're now also leaving a church and all this stuff. But was it the shame of like failing at being a Mormon that was so hard or what?
Yeah, well, I think divorce feels like a scarlet letter of failure. And it is so, we have really framed the narrative around marriage to be, we honor these 60-year-old marriages, regardless of what they went through, regardless of what they put up with, as long as they stay together. You know, mm-hmm. I would read those obituaries and be like, that's all that matters is the stamp at the end of the, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And to embrace failure, even though I, you know, emotionally am so much happier, our family is happier, the girls are thriving, and we have all these value markers, you know, there is no value held in my family for being divorced. It's like, it trumps everything. And I think that shame of that failure just is overwhelming, you know, and people don't know how to react. They don't know how to comfort you. They don't know whether they should celebrate or console. And it's just a really swampy feeling. And shame has driven my entire life. I feel shameful for drinking tea. I feel mm-hmm. shameful for having a Celsius. I feel shameful for writing my story and respecting my story and my experience. I mean, shame has been the overriding theme of my entire life. And I wanted to alleviate that from my kids. I want them to now like feel free to explore whomever they want to be and not have that cloud of shame and obligation hanging over their head that I always felt I had. And I still have, obviously.
I love that. So I love the cover. You look hot as mm-hmm. And I know you're going on a tour. A lot of the dates are already sold out. So if you are interested in seeing Heather on her tour, head over to her Instagram at Heather Gay. And here's my question is when people see you in real life, like what is the first thing they say to you?
You're my favorite.
Yes. Hell yes.
Because this is the community I've lived in for 20 years. You know, I still go to TJ Maxx. I still go to Target. I still go to Trader Joe's and you know, all the, like, that's where I live. You know, I still right. go to the football games. I still go to the basketball games, the high school stuff. Like I'm just in my kids' lives and I'm living my life. And I've tried to, I love that part of being, you know, my life. And I don't want to give that up. So most people, there's housewife fans that are like, ah, you know, you're my favorite. I love you. They're so wonderful. And then there's Mormon housewives fans or just Mormons who will grab my forearm and just say, I'm a bad Mormon too. And that's all they have to say. And it just like, and then like, it depends on my mood. Like I might weep with them in the mm-hmm. aisle at Target and like embrace them and exchange numbers and be like, you know, let's get coffee out loud.
Sure. Yeah,
or
sure.
just, it depends. Or just, you know, be like, read the book. You're going to love it. This is really the first time a modern Mormon woman without like a huge, I don't know how to say chip on her shoulder because I definitely have one, but it's kind of an insider's view of the faith. Mm-hmm. Like I really tell it first person perspective, what it felt like to, you know, do the Hosanna shout with a prophet, what it felt like to do these rituals as a young girl, to wear the garments, you know, to try to balance, you know, two lives, one that's deeply spiritual and committed to this high demand faith. And one that's just a young girl trying to figure it out and become, you know, who she authentically wants to be under the guise of these rules and her parents, you know?
And that has to be so rewarding when you run into like the bad Mormons out in the world, because I'm sure when you were younger and you were struggling, it's like, you probably wished you had somebody like you that was kind of out there doing it publicly to make you feel like you weren't alone. I'm sure that there's so much loneliness in that world when you feel like something's off and there's more, you know, you kind of feeling all of the things within the church. So that has to be really cool.
Like looking for your people and knowing they have to be out there. But when you're in a religion like that, you can't confide in each other. It's a lot like living in the closet, you know, and then you finally can come out and it's like, everyone's like, I'm here too. And it feels like you're in that classroom and everybody like puts their heads down and raises their hands. Then you look around, you see everyone mm-hmm. is in that same community with you. And that's the community that I say, the only excommunication I fear now is these others, you know, that we've never been able to acknowledge each other. We've never been able to embrace and support each other. And that's kind of what the tour is about too, like getting out there and saying, who else feels like this? Who else, you know, wants to, instead of being like ostracized, let's join together and be a community and support each other.
I'm just really curious, and I'm totally projecting how I would feel onto this. You know, I can understand when you've been born and raised into a religion where they have some values that are questionable, like the fact that you can't get divorced in the Mormon faith. If you're a woman, you can't ask for it. You have to be granted that right from your spouse, and they have every right to say no.
I'm still married in the church's eyes to my spouse. Like the church has not granted me a temple divorce. And I'm doing paperwork to sever my ties from the church entirely, which I think negates that. But Billy is still my spouse. But by the church's eyes, it doesn't matter what I do civilly. God sees me as one of his wives.
Wow. That is insane.
So with that said, I can understand when you're born and raised and it's something that, you know, if it's all that you know and it's scary to leave, people like Lisa Barlow, who later convert to Mormonism, I would struggle to understand. I do as a non, never been a Mormon, but even more so from your perspective where you're like, wait, I had a hard enough, like I'm having a hard enough time severing after making all of these realizations of it not being such a great place. How do you, I guess, reconcile with being in someone's life whose decision it was to like go into that without even, does that make any sense? Like that, yeah. Making that choice?
Yeah, I think that's partly why Lisa and I are perfect foils for each other, because she's proud to be a Mormon and I'm deeply ashamed of it. You know, mm-hmm. like it's, that's, that alone is like our base. And to know how much of a struggle it was for me to do things like take off my garments or betray these rituals in the temple. I mean, the church is suing me because of the things that I've revealed in this book, essentially, you know, because I'm talking about rituals that we swore we would never share. And so I am betraying what Lisa holds sacred, you know, because she's done the same rituals I have, worn the same sacred garments and done everything. So for her, if, you know, I don't know what her position is, but people that join it and run to it and defend it, there's obviously we're going to be at odds because right. I've risked everything to leave it.
Do you sign like an NDA when you become like,
you make oaths that like the oaths have gotten
are they legally binding?
Well, I mean, the word Mormon apparently is because they're suing me.
So. Yeah, that's so crazy. How can they actually sue you?
That seems
wild.
They're
suing me for trademark use of the term Mormon. And so we're just in litigation. And it's mostly, I mean, there's other people that have used the term that they haven't sued. I think it's because.
Yeah, what about Book of Mormon?
Maybe they have more sure money. I mean, I don't know if they'll win, but I'm fighting it forever. Jesus, I mean, I think Christ. It's like, there's not an NDA, but you say things, you do special things that like, that you will execute yourself. So my dad would do an oath where you disembowel yourself or rip your tongue out from the root if you ever spoke these things outside of a special room in the temple. And so putting it in a book is breaking that oath. So it's an oath with God and with your everyone in the room. You make like communal oaths every time you go. And most Mormons go to the temple once a week. So this isn't like a one-time oath. You go every week. It's service. It's part of our salvation is we have to render service in the temple. So, you know, you're going to the temple once a week your whole adult life and you're remaking these oaths. So an NDA becomes nothing, you know?
Nothing.
Wow.
I'm just trying to come at it as like a listener listening, but like, are you afraid that they have so much money? The Mormon Church has so much money. Are you afraid that the lawsuits are just going to keep coming? Like, is there anything you can do to keep them from being litigious until they feel like they're done?
No,
nothing.
I mean, I can just either surrender the trademark rights or fight. And so, you know, right now I feel like that would just not honor the book and honor my story and also honor my right to tell my story and respect my own experience. It's that process of just silencing and shaming me, you know, and especially like to have your closest friends who are in the book say, change our names. Don't, you know, we're not going to ever read it because we don't want to put anything negative about the church in our brains. We are taught to recuse everything critical. We're taught to not look online. We are taught to never. My brother was 50 years old before he Googled Joseph Smith, our founding prophet. We are taught that everything out there is false information from Satan to lead us astray. So when I say we're an insular community, we don't even Google facts about our own faith because we're taught not to.
So interesting.
That's like going to get a boob job without Googling your doctor's Yelp reviews.
Come on, get on new.
Well, don't go to a doctor that's on Yelp. That's my first word of advice from the medical community.
And no Groupons.
And no Groupons. All right, when we come back, we have some Lady Gang fan questions for Heather.
Hi, this episode of Lady Gang is brought to you by Stamps.com. Stamps.com is literally the lifesaver of my life. Right now, I'm sending out 3 baby gifts. So yeah, you might not be a small business. You might just be a busy lady on the go that needs to mail stuff every once in a while. And Stamps.com can even work for you. When you sign up for Stamps.com, they're going to send you a free digital scale. You set it up and you can literally print any kind of postage, USPS, whatever you need from your computer. It is so easy. And then you just drop it off. So there's no standing in line. There's no waiting to try to figure out what kind of stamps or what kind of postage you need. Everything you can do is online. It really makes it easy. And if you're someone who's like an auntie like me, who's sending packages to the same addresses all the time, one of my favorite things about stamps.com is it saves all your addresses. I don't have to put the information in again when I'm sending a care box to my brother in Canada. It's already there. I just have to fill up the customs form and then I go. It's so easy. Stamps.com is just incredible. So set up your business or your personal life with success when you get started with stamps.com today. Sign up with the promo code LadyGang for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code LADYGANG. Hey, Jack, guess what?
What?
Well, you already know. Why don't you tell everybody?
We just launched something called The Lady Line, and we want to hear from all of you bitches.
It's kind of like our updated version of Ask the Lady Gang. So if you have any specific questions, concerns, quandaries, secrets, we still love those. It's the same old telephone number from Lady Secrets, 1-844-SEXY-LADY.
And basically what we're trying to do is get your voices on the podcast. So if you're brave, we want to give advice. We want to hear your thoughts. Call us, 1-844-SEXY-LADY. Leave us a message. We're going to play it starting on the podcast when we get enough of them. Okay, bye.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
All right, we're back with Heather Gay. She's got a new book out, Bad Mormon, and An Unexplainable Black Eye, which I'm not even getting into, Heather, because like I know you're not going to say anything. But for those of you who don't watch Salt Lake City, Heather got a black eye on one of their trips, and they can't even go on good trips because Jen's going to prison. And so like they can only go to like San Diego. And
they
I'm like, I don't know what's excited about going to San Diego. And she gets this black eye. We don't know where it came from. I know you guys just taped the reunion. I'm sure Andy's asking you. You don't have to answer, but like it is suspect as
it is. But it's the best place in the world to get a black eye because there's cameras mounted everywhere. And I was assured there was footage of the black eye. So it's, you know, if you're going to wake up with an unexplainable black eye, you'd want cameras everywhere.
Wait,
to record
they
it.
Know? Does someone other than you know?
They've told me throughout the entire process there'd be footage, but we have no explanation for the black eye.
Oh my God.
Wow. Oh my God. Well, I got a gnarly black eye from a really bad under eye filler that I got. So
speaking of beauty, well,
I bring an injector on every cast trip just in case. Pick me up.
A little small picket. Okay. All right. So we have 3 questions. If there's a new season of Salt Lake City, would you want to come back? Can you answer that?
I mean, I would be a housewife for the rest of my life, but I think the housewife world is changing dramatically. I think we're seeing the fans respond differently than they've ever have before. You know, I was born and bred in housewife reality TV. So I feel like the nature of it is changing in many ways. Question if housewives has jumped the shark, if problematic people on television is not really a healthy forum anymore, which is why we used to watch. Yeah. So I don't know. I would never bite the hand that has fed me and given me these opportunities and created this incredible chance for people to read my story. No one would want to read my story if I wasn't a housewife, you know? And I would never begrudge that.
I disagree. I think you're the only housewife that's ever written a book where people would still read the book if you weren't a housewife.
I actually agree.
I mean, I want to read your book so bad and I don't watch Housewives.
There you
like,
go.
I'm so fascinated. So the story alone
then that's
is
my
just,
out.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
No, and I don't read books either. So like this is a lot for me.
The second question we had was just like, what's going on with bad weather? Like, do you guys think you can ever be friends again?
Listen, that was a hard thing for me.
It's really hard for us to watch.
Bad weather. It's hard right now. I would say no, because our friendship was fractured for television. And as long as we're on television, how could I put any stock in that? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll get to see that play out on Girls Trip too. You know, we've had a lot of resolve and a lot of great things, but it's one step forward, 1,000 steps back. So right now I'm still pretty broken and raw and would say, sure, we can have a television friendship because that's apparently all it ever was. I don't know.
And then the last thing is, like, when we were doing our show at E, we were like really nervous about, we were like, we don't want to do a reality show. So we did a talk show and it got canceled like right away. So probably made a mistake there. But one of the producers there was like, listen, like, we don't make people up on television. Like, people, when you film a reality show, like, you show who you are, and you may not like that, but like, it actually just amplifies who you are as a person. Do you feel like in your three seasons, like, you got a fair edit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, that she's third the favorite. Season. Yeah.
I mean, obviously
the best edit ever. No, I mean, I talk about that in the book too. Like, you can't hide from the viewers. The viewers see right through you. I mean, I've watched 600 Pound Life. I watch Hoarders. I know how these people live, you know, like, mm-hmm. I just really feel like I'm really good at faking it. You know, like, performative reality was something I did as a Mormon for decades and as a mother, you know, pretending to like to pack lunches. But on TV, it was the first time that I really was my true, raw, authentic self. And I feel like I got a good edit because I was meeting myself in a lot of ways for the first time. And so messy, even season three, as messy as it is, you know, they can't make you say things you don't say. And they can't, I just think that the parody of housewives seeing what works and seeing what doesn't work, it gets in their brains, you know? And that is that's why I say, you know, I don't know if the formula can weather the storm with everything.
Yeah. I hear you. Well,
yeah, I got a fair edit. I got an absolutely fair edit and I'm grateful for it.
No, you're always like, your confessional is always like the exclamation point to whatever's happening. And you're always like, this is ridiculous.
Best confessionals ever.
Oh my God.
Who's your favorite housewife of all time ever?
You know, it's hard to answer that because I am a fan, but I have a real emotional attachment to Sonia because I felt that loss that she felt from the Morgan letters.
Yes.
You know, I felt that same falling off a cliff. Like, if you're not married, you don't have the name, you don't get to wear the crest, you don't get, you know, like, I felt that. Mm. And so I really, and I like that she's zany and kind and, you know, it's just kind of Sonia. She's always been authentically her and it's ridiculously fun to watch. But you know, I have different housewives for different seasons. I love them all. I do.
Different moods. Well, Heather Gay, it was lovely to see you again. Thank you for coming on Lady Gang. Lady Gang listeners, you're going to want to read this book. Even Jack wants to read it.
Hell yeah.
She doesn't even watch Housewives. And so, like, there you can go.
There's a Bachelor Easter egg in here, a really, really good behind the scenes Bachelor Easter egg. So get to the chapter on that.
Yes.
Were you going to be the Bachelorette?
No, but one of my dear friends, my divorce mentor, was a contestant on The Bachelor, and I have inside info of why she might have gotten sent home.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
So this is reality TV. We cross all the borders, you know. I'm into all of it.
Love it.
Heather's going on a massive book tour. If you want to see her in her city, I know Salt Lake tickets go on sale right away. Some of the cities are sold out. Everything is on her Instagram at Heather Gay. The book Bad Mormon is out. Let's make her a New York Times bestselling author / television star / lip injection icon. And we will
see you next,
Tuesday. Thanks for listening. The Lady Gang is produced by Alex Ingber, Steve Delameter, and Jared Monaco. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And if you love it, share it with your friends on social media. Like, oh my God, I just listened to Lady Gang. This episode's so great. Swipe up to listen. And if you really want to, which we know you do, please follow us on social at Kelty, at Becca, at Jack Vanek, and at The Lady Gang. Sign up for our newsletter at theladygang.com and join our secret Facebook group. It's super fun. See you next Tuesday.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.